What would a $3,000 car repair bill do to your budget? A vehicle protection plan from 5-Star Auto Protection can save you thousands in repairs. Your auto insurance won't cover a $3,000 transmission repair, but we will. If your car has less than 130,000 miles, give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help eliminate costly car repair bills. Call us now. Call 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. Plans not available in all states for all vehicles. See agreement for complete terms. These days, we all need to save money where we can. As your car gets older, it will have mechanical problems. Don't get caught with a $2,000 or even $5,000 repair bill. If your factory warranty is about to expire, or you have no warranty coverage at all, an extended vehicle protection plan can save you thousands. We pay for 100% of your covered repairs, and we pay the dealer or your preferred mechanic directly for you. No more hassle with reimbursements. The number to call is 800-837-7554. There is no one-size-fits-all to vehicle protection plans. At A-Plus Auto Protection, we work with BBB-rated providers to offer a full menu of plans ranging from platinum coverage to basic plans that cover the most costly engine and transmission repairs. We do the comparison shopping for you, so you save money with our discounts. For a limited time, also receive roadside assistance, towing, and rentals, but you must call now. Call 800-837-7554. 800-837-7554. 800-837-7554.
And all plans available in all states for all vehicles.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie. And my show, The Unsolicited Opinion, can be heard here on AM 1360 WNJC every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. You know, Barack Obama wants to redistribute the wealth. Well, I disagree. I think you need to earn what you get in life. So join me, because I'm going to be redistributing the truth one word at a time on The Unsolicited Opinion here on WNJC 1360.
People who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic, and we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
What would a $3,000?
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie, and welcome to the Unsolicited Opinion. How are you doing tonight? I bet everybody's still stuffed from eating a lot of the bird yesterday. I know I ate a lot of the bird. In fact, I ate too much of the bird, but I got to tell you that it actually turned out very well. I cook once in a while, usually not with great success, but yesterday I happened to get lucky. Somebody up there liked me, and my turkey actually turned out very well. So I enjoyed it, and I had commented on Wednesday night when I had on my guest from New Zealand on Wednesday, Trevor Loudon, that I was going to enjoy the turkey in honor of all of the greenies who think that you shouldn't eat meat. I was going to enjoy every morsel of it, and guess what I did? I enjoyed every single morsel of the luscious, succulent turkey that I ate yesterday, and actually I ate a little bit more of it today too. So listen, if you want to join this conversation, I am broadcasting remotely, so unfortunately you're not going to be able to call into the station and reach me. But if you want to shoot an email my way while the show is going on, please do so. You can reach me at Maggie@theunsolicitedopinion.com. My website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. You can hear me on Sundays at noon on micro1650am.com. My show is replayed every day at 4 p.m. Eastern and 3 to 5 on Saturdays via nettalkworld.com. And you can also hear my show through TalkStreamLive.com. A couple of things I want to mention. Number one, I am always looking for sponsors of this show. And so if you know somebody who's looking for a great show that tells the truth and they want to advertise their product or their business on my show, please have them give me a call. They can reach me through my website, which is TheUnsolicitedOpinion.com. Always looking for sponsors, advertisers, and I have one that started with the show last week, and that is diggersrealm.com. That is a website that has been tracking illegal immigration in this country for about the last 8 years, and honestly, they are like a dog with a bone. They are on the case. They are following what is going on, and they report the truth, not the stuff, not the propaganda that you get out of the mainstream media here in this country, which we all know what that is. It's all a big lie. DiggersRealm.com. Check them out because they are going to give you up-to-the-minute info on what's really happening. I wanted to mention another organization, too, which is a heroes-welcome.org, and they are the people that you hear about who are standing at the airport when the soldiers are returning and they're giving them a hero's welcome. Please go to that website, aheroes-welcome.org, and find out when the next hero is going to be arriving home so that you can go down and welcome them and make them feel that there are some people in this country who do appreciate their hard work and their service, and that we are very proud of them, and we are proud of them as they are proud Americans, and we stand up and support them. So please check that out as well, okay? It's critical. We need to stand up for the people who stand up for us. Now, my website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, and I actually have someone sitting there manning the email, so if you want to shoot an email my way with a question for my guest who will be on shortly, please do so. And if you have any questions at any time after the show you want to reach me, just send an email my way. Now, the gentleman I am going to have on the show today is Henry Lamb, and he is the founder of the Environmental Conservation Organization, which he started in 1988 to protect private property rights. He also is the founder of Sovereignty.net, Freedom21.org, and Freedom.org. He also writes a column for World Net Daily, and Mr. Lamb is a very knowledgeable individual, and he has been fighting this assault on our freedoms in this country called United Nations Agenda 21, which is also known as sustainable development. And for those of you who have been listening to my show for the last several weeks, you'll know that I have been focusing on nothing but that, because I truly do believe that it is the mother lode that trumps everything else, and all the arguments that we have had amongst ourselves, between ourselves, fighting left against right, black against white, white against black, illegal alien versus legal alien, so on and so forth, the bank bailouts, the Wall Street bailouts, the health care bill, everything, the GOP versus the Democrats versus the GOP. Quite frankly, all of those different arguments, although valid within themselves, there's no doubt about it, all of them pale in comparison to the mother load, which is the United Nations Agenda 21, also known as sustainable development, because the game plan for that little piece of ideology is truly going to be, you will no longer have the freedom, you will no longer have property rights, you are going to be governed by a global organization which is going to tell you what you're going to be able to do. Okay, great. My guest is on the line, so we're going to go to a commercial, and then we will be back in about 2 minutes, and we are going to bring Henry Lamb on the line, and he is an expert on this, and he will do a much better job of explaining what exactly global governments, UN Agenda 21, and sustainable development will actually do to you, because I can guarantee you it will do absolutely nothing for you. So hang on, everybody. We're going to break, and we will be back in about 2 minutes.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now at 800-221-9442 and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishments, and collections. We won't waste a minute helping you with your tax problems. We'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. We've settled millions of dollars of tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking on your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-221-9442. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-221-9442. That's 800-221-9442. Again, 800-221-9442.
Listeners, here's a simple way to earn quit your job money from home. Income at Home 34.com has come to us for listeners who want to work from home.
I have to tell you, it's the best decision that I ever made, because we replaced my income and my husband's income. This business has allowed us to quit our jobs, and we're both at home full-time and loving it. Best decision I ever made.
They're even giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. Visit incomeathome34.com. That's incomeathome34.com.
Hi, everybody. We're back. You are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, and you can reach me via my website, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, and I am joined this afternoon by Henry Lamb. He is the founder of Environmental Conservation Organization, which was founded to protect our property rights, and he founded that organization in 1988. He's also one of the founders of Sovereignty.net, Freedom21.org, Freedom.org, and he also is a columnist for WorldNet Daily. So please, I'm pleased to welcome Henry Lamb to the show. Henry, thank you for joining us today.
It's my pleasure, Maggie.
You know, I've been devoting my show the last several weeks, Henry, to nothing but the United Nations Agenda 21 since I found out about it. And I say this to all of my guests every week when I speak with someone. I just found out about it, and it was honestly, it was just a fluke that I did. I was speaking with someone from the United Kingdom who had mentioned the word communitarian to me. And I said, well, gee, I have no idea what that is. What does that mean? And he said, you need to look it up. He said, because I can guarantee you that it is occurring in your country now, because we know all about it in the European Union. So I did look it up, and then here we are today, because I believe it's the mother lode, and this trumps all the other arguments. And so I want to dedicate my show to doing nothing but exposing this evil plan for what I call our global enslavement. And I actually read recently the book that you had written, Henry, A Short Course in Global Governance.
Yes.
So I thought maybe we could talk about that today, but if you would just give a brief overview of what sustainable development is, UN Agenda 21, and then we'll get into the global governance, because I never know who's listening, so there may be somebody new listening who has no idea what we're talking about, that these terms are all foreign to them.
Sustainable development and global governance are two sides of the same coin. Actually, the short course in global governance that you referred to is the second in a series. The first in that series is called Sustainable Development or Sustainable Freedom. You can't have both. And to describe briefly what sustainable development is quite simple. Ultimately, there's only two philosophies of government. One philosophy says that government is omnipotent, all-powerful, and it grants or denies freedom to individuals. The other philosophy is from the John Locke thinking and others, that government is created by individuals that are endowed rights of freedom, life, and the pursuit of happiness, as Tom Jefferson says, by the Creator. And government derives its power from the consent of the governed. In America, thanks to our founders, we started out pursuing the John Locke philosophy of individual freedom as the sovereign that created a government. Unfortunately, the UN is dominated by people who subscribe to the first philosophy, that government is the omnipotent power, and even worse, our United States federal government is in the process of being transformed into that same kind of government.
Okay. Well, that's a real critical difference that people need to understand, that their rights come from their creator, not from some other man. And the UN says your rights come from another man, and they can take away your rights whenever they feel like it.
That's exactly right.
Right.
And Agenda 21 is a blueprint for imposing a government-planned society in every nation on Earth, administered by the United Nations, through which every nation then becomes an administrative unit of the United Nations. And in this country, every state then becomes an administrative unit of Washington, and every county and city becomes an administrative unit of the state. Bypassing the need for legislative action, bypassing the need for representative government, and in effect creating an administrative form of government.
Well, you know, one of the questions that I get from people a lot is they say, well, I don't understand, you know, the United Nations, unless we approve their ratify a treaty, they have no say or control in anything we do in this country. And I think that's one of the falsehood that people, including myself, until I learned about this, I felt the same way. That was my understanding, obviously a wrong understanding, but I think that might be one of the reasons why people find it difficult to believe it when you say the United Nations is indeed involved in things in our life here in this country because of that.
Well, it's absolutely true that the United Nations, and Agenda 21 in particular, is not a binding document at all. It is voluntary. But when Agenda 21 was signed in Rio de Janeiro in 1992, President George Bush the Elder signed it on behalf of the United States. But it was a voluntary document. Bill Clinton, immediately upon taking office, followed the first recommendation in Agenda 21, which was every nation should create its own national program to implement Agenda 21. And Bill Clinton set up, by executive order, the President's Council on Sustainable Development, and set out to implement as much of Agenda 21 as could be implemented, and did a magnificent job of implementing the recommendations within Agenda 21 without any congressional debate, without any congressional vote, and that process continues.
Well, I think that's the thing. It's so devious, and people are not aware of it because it never has been on the front page of the local newspaper. It's never been, you know, Walter Cronkite, if he was still around and reporting the news, he would not be talking about UN Agenda 21. It's all a backdoor deal that's being implemented. It's all under the cover of darkness. It's a very stealthy way they go about doing this, because if they came in front of the people and told them, well, gee, we're going to take all your rights away from you, the people would be up in arms, and they would be hostile.
Well, certainly they would. But very few people in this country know that there are 47 United Nations biosphere reserves in this country. There is no biodiversity treaty ratified in this country. Nevertheless, the recommendations set forth, the policies set forth in the Convention on Biological Diversity, have been implemented voluntarily by the administration, by the Clinton administration, and by the Bush administrations to this point, and being pushed further by the Obama administration.
Henry, would you explain what the Biodiversity Treaty, the Global Biodiversity Treaty, actually is?
The Convention on Biological Diversity is another of those documents that was produced by the 1992 United Nations Conference on Environment and Development in Rio. That treaty calls for the creation of protected areas. When I first read the treaty, I was not concerned about it, because in the United States we already had more than 200 million acres protected, either by national parks, national wildlife refuges, wetlands, critical habitat through the Endangered Species Act. But I did not realize, until I read the convention instruction book, which is 1,140 pages, called the Global Biodiversity Assessment, that full implementation of the Convention on Biological Diversity requires implementation of the Wildlands Project. The Wildlands Project calls for converting 50% of the land area in the United States to wilderness, which is off limits to human beings. forcing people off the rural lands and into what's now called sustainable communities, high-density areas where cars are strongly discouraged, if not outlawed, but in order to open the land to wilderness and critters.
Okay.
That's what the Biodiversity Treaty does.
Okay. So now, you know, I was reading something on your website, and what was it, Yellowstone, I think it was. Yeah, Yellowstone Park was designated World Heritage Site that was in danger because I guess there was someone who had some private property adjacent to the park, and they wanted to be able to mine gold on their own private property. And so something I had read was about these NGOs, I believe it was, went to the UN to get it designated as World Heritage Site that was in danger. Therefore, the U.S. then was obligated to protect the park, even outside borders of the park, even going on to private land.
Absolutely. And this is a terrific example of how the World Heritage Treaty, even though its recommendations are not legally binding either, they are voluntary. And we have 20 World Heritage Sites in this country, one there in Philadelphia. But Yellowstone Park that you were talking about is not quite 3 million acres, and the environmental organizations didn't like the fact that a mining company wanted to mine gold some 3 miles away from Yellowstone Park, so they went to the UNESCO and asked them to declare Yellowstone National Park a World Heritage Site in danger, which invokes recommendations that requires participants in the treaty to protect the site beyond the borders. And the protected area around the 3 million acre Yellowstone Park reached nearly 18 million acres, through which the federal government claimed jurisdiction and dictated what private landowners could or could not do. And they, of course, did not allow the mining company to continue mining gold after the mining company had spent $30 million to comply with the Endangered Species Act requirements.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that is so incredible, is the fact that these assaults, they're frontal assaults, they're sideways assaults, they're backdoor assaults, and they're so far-reaching, they're so overreaching, that so many of the different things that we see going on, and there was another thing, I'm trying to think, that was on your website about a little bird. Where is it? It was down in North Carolina.
In North Hatteras, Carolina, Cape, yeah, Hatteras. The piper.
Pardon me?
The piper.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And so the people in that area were being prevented from using their property, using their land, because, of course, they want to, you know, I don't know, save the nesting grounds or the purported endangered nesting grounds, of course, because we know that so many of the things that they claim are actually endangered are no more endangered than the American dog is endangered.
Exactly. But you know, your point's well taken, and that's on the Outer Banks of North Carolina, where the protection of this little piper, this little bird that is on every beach running back and forth to dodge the waves, picking coquina shells and other little bitty things to eat. But nonetheless, because the Department of Interior declares that this is a critical habitat, people can't even walk on the beaches for miles along there, and it's just shut down in, you know, business after business after business. But the idea is to force people off those lands,
yes,
and into sustainable communities.
On that note, Henry, we are going to go to a break, and then we will be back in a couple of minutes. We are speaking with Henry Lamb, who is the founder of Environmental Conservation Organization, as well as several other organizations and groups and websites. So we will be back in a couple minutes with Henry Lamb. Hold on, everybody.
We'll be right back.
What would a $3,000 car repair bill do to your budget? A vehicle protection plan from Five Star Auto Protection can save you thousands in repairs. Your auto insurance won't cover a $3,000 transmission repair, but we will. If your car has less than 130,000 miles, give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help eliminate costly car repair bills. Call us now. Call 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. Plans unavailable in all states for all vehicles. See agreement for complete terms. These days, we all need to save money where we can. As your car gets older, it will have mechanical problems. Don't get caught with a $2,000 or even $5,000 repair bill. If your factory warranty is about to expire, or you have no warranty coverage at all, an extended vehicle protection plan can save you thousands. We pay for 100% of your covered repairs, and we pay the dealer or your preferred mechanic directly for you. No more hassle with reimbursements. The number to call is 800-837-7554. There is no one-size-fits-all to vehicle protection plans. At A-Plus Auto Protection, we work with BBB-rated providers to offer a full menu of plans ranging from platinum coverage to basic plans that cover the most costly engine and transmission repairs. We do the comparison shopping for you, so you save money with our discounts. For a limited time, also receive roadside assistance, towing, and rentals, but you must call now. Call 800-837-7554. 800-837-7554. 800-837-7554.
At all plans available in all states for all vehicles.
I'm not sure I'm live or not, everybody, so I'm just going to pretend I'm live and we're going forward from there because I am broadcasting remotely, and so sometimes it's difficult to tell, since I'm not in the studio, exactly what's going on and who's on first, but welcome back, everybody. You are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. My name is Maggie, and we are joined this afternoon with Henry Lamb, who is a scholarly individual who is the founder of the Environmental Conservation Organization, which he founded in 1988. He is also a contributor and frequent writer to WorldNet Daily. He is also a founder of the Sovereignty.net, Freedom21.org, and Freedom.org websites with copious amounts of information. We are talking about United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. And Henry, thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure.
So we were talking about how they're driving people off the land. Let's get a little talk about the global governance aspect of that, Henry. Define that, and who came up with this idea of global governance?
Well, it goes back for more than a century. Woodrow Wilson, as you are aware, created the League of Nations, and it was the same philosophy that was pushed by progressives 100 years ago that created Woodrow Wilson's administration and the League of Nations. Fortunately, the United States did not join the League of Nations nor ratify that that treaty in which the League of Nations was included. But that didn't slow down the progressives. They began immediately working to create another global government, and they organized the Council on Foreign Relations in 1921 in this country. The same people who worked for Woodrow Wilson and created the League of Nations worked for another 20 years to elect Roosevelt. And the first thing Roosevelt did in 1932 was to set out to create another global government. And 2 weeks after Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, he set up a special committee to begin drafting a charter for what he would announce 2 weeks later to be the United Nations. And as you know, after the war in 1945, the United Nations was formed, was ratified by the United States, and we have been expanding the United Nations ever since, which now consists of more than 1,300 different agencies, organizations, departments, and commissions, and it influences virtually every aspect of our life at this moment. And global governance is something that everybody needs to be aware of. And maybe, I could preach for 2 weeks on this subject, so, you know, interrupt me any time.
Okay.
But let me make a distinction here, because everybody in Washington and everybody in Geneva, Switzerland, will say global governance is not a global government. And they define global, you know, they try to make
they split hairs.
But to me, the difference between global government and global governance is a whole lot like the difference between rape and date rape. One begins with seduction, but both end in violence.
Exactly. So tell me something, Henry. So these guys got together, and it's interesting because this is almost 100 years now, because the, what about 1913, Woodrow Wilson was in office about that time, so that's almost 100 years ago, that these people have been plotting and scheming and planning all these different things. And, of course, the people behind all these things are people with the names of Roosevelt, J.P. Morgan, the Mellons, the Carnegies, all of those moneyed robber barons from the 19th century who are the ones who really were behind so many of these different things, like the Federal Reserve and the CFR. And isn't it interesting, Henry, that Roosevelt, 2 weeks after Pearl Harbor is bombed, he just happens to have this plan for post-war foreign policy in his back pocket that, you know, I would think his focus would be on the problem at hand.
Well,
wouldn't you think? Wouldn't that have been the logical thing one would be focusing on?
Had I not read all that I have read, I would certainly think that. It would be the logical thing for him to be concerned about the war and domestic security. However, having read tons and tons and tons of material about that, during that era, I am very much aware that the Council on Foreign Relations handed Mr. Roosevelt his agenda, much like the NGOs today have handed Mr. Obama his agenda for the federal government to implement. And, that's how the NGOs, or non-government organizations, often called the shadow government, and which makes us sound like conspiracy theorists when there is no conspiracy at all, if you define a conspiracy to be a secret program, because everything that I say and everything that I have said in all my books is well documented and published and out there for the world to see.
Well, you know, one of the things that I like to do when, because we have been so conditioned, like Pavlov's dog, to automatically respond when someone says the word conspiracy, we have been conditioned to respond, oh, no, must be a nut job, can't listen, no such thing as a conspiracy, you know, Martians are going to be landing soon. And the bottom line is the word conspiracy comes up in everyday life. I mean, if you're conspiring with someone else to commit murder, then you are guilty of a conspiracy, are you not? Yes,
exactly.
You are. So, I mean, it is an everyday term. It is an everyday occurrence. But we have been conditioned because the powers that be are the ones that own the media, so they drive the message that the media is going to put out there. And
exactly.
They aren't going to put the truth out there. They're going to put the propaganda out there. And it certainly isn't going to include the fact that conspiracies are very real and they happen every day.
Well, the people behind Agenda 21 and global governance are people who subscribe to what's popularly known as the progressive philosophy. This is a philosophy that, as Hillary Clinton described, emerged in the late 19th century and in the early 20th century, particularly through Woodrow Wilson and his administration. But this philosophy emerged as a result of Karl Marx and the Communist Manifesto in 1848, 1849. And from that period forward, the progressive philosophy began to arise. Now, few people realize that between 1845 and 1860, this country was just overrun by immigrants from Europe, particularly Germany, where this Marxist philosophy just caught on like wildfire. And the people who came here, the immigrants who came here, brought that philosophy with them. And throughout the remainder of this century, that century of the 19th and early 20th century, the progressive philosophy really grew in this country. And now it is growing again. And it's that philosophy that says government must dictate to people how they live. And that is exactly what Agenda 21 does. That's exactly what Sustainable Communities does. That's exactly what Chris Dodd's Livable Communities Act does. We are seeing it all around us in every town, every community, the visioning councils that set up a comprehensive land use plan for our town 2020. It is implementing a plan derived from Agenda 21 where government dictates how people will live.
Well, you know, it's so difficult for people to fathom this because they've been so lost in the dialectic of left versus right that it isn't just Obama who's involved with this, but it was Bush and it was Clinton, and it's both sides. Not the left doing it to the right. It's both sides. They're both complicit in this act to actually take down freedom in this country and instill a dictatorial regime. They're both part and parcel of it. I like to say they're both the opposite side of the same slice of bread.
Well, that's exactly right. Richard Lugar, a Republican, is pushing the Law of the Sea Treaty as hard as he can, and every other aspect of global governance. And he's not the only Republican in the Senate and in Washington. The entire Rockefeller wing of the Republican Party has promoted this government control idea for years. But that's the opposite from the constitutional understanding of what freedom is and what empowers government.
Exactly. Listen, Henry, we're going to go to another break, and we will be back in about 2 minutes. Listen, everybody, hang on. You are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, and my website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, and we are speaking this afternoon with Henry Lamb. So hang on, everybody. We will be right back shortly.
What would a $3,000 car repair bill do to your budget? A vehicle protection plan from 5-Star Auto Protection can save you thousands in repairs. Your auto insurance won't cover a $3,000 transmission repair, but we will if your car has less than 130,000 miles. Give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help eliminate costly car repair bills. Call us now. Call 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. Plans not available in all states for all vehicles. See agreement for complete terms.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now at 800-221-9442 and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste a minute helping you with your tax problems. We'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. We've settled millions of dollars of tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking on your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-221-9442. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-221-9442. That's 800-221-9442. Again, 800-221-9442.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie and you are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, and I wanted to talk today about my new sponsor for this show, which is a website called DiggersRealm.com. That is D-I-G-G-E-R-S Realm, R-E-A-L-M.com. Please check them out. They are on top of all the craziness going on in this country, and they have been focusing for the last 8 years on illegal immigration in this country, and since the DREAM Act is being bandied about again, the Nightmare Act, I like to call it, you really need to check out Diggers Round because they are on top of what's happening with the push to legalize, I don't know, 30, 40 million illegal aliens in this country, which they will do that, believe me, if these things are allowed to go forward. So we are speaking this afternoon with Henry Lamb, who is from Environmental Conservation Organization, which he formed in 1988, as well as Sovereignty.net, Freedom21.org, Freedom.org, and he also writes for WorldNet Daily. And as always, my podcast, when it's up after the show, will also have links to all of Henry Lamb's websites for those of you who want to find out more information and be able to contact him. You will be able to reach him through my website. So thanks for coming on with me today, Henry. And I was asking you on the break about how you got into this in the first place. So tell everybody how you even got involved with what's going on here with sustainable development, if you would, please.
In the mid-80s, I was managing a construction company in West Tennessee when one of our crews, who was installing some drain tile in a neighbor's farm, was approached by a man from the federal government in a white pickup truck. And he came onto the job site and shut the job down, saying that we're polluting the waters of the United States. And my machine operator called me, and I went to the job site and informed the EPA official that the nearest waters of the United States was 700 miles away in Myrtle Beach.
Right.
He was not very amused, shut the job down, and I set out to determine how in the world a government assumes the power to come on private property and tell a man what he may or may not do on his own land.
Well, you know, that unfortunately is the thing that more and more people are starting to realize what's being done in this country, that the right to property has been usurped. You know, that decision, the Kelo v. what is it, New London, Connecticut, that came out by the Supreme Court a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, certainly wasn't in favor of private property rights in this country. It's absolutely, you know, dissolving private property rights in this country. But everything that the founding fathers had put together to allow a man to be free and to have the opportunity to gain wealth, which is the ability to own your property and do whatever you want to do on your property, they are systematically taking away.
Absolutely. And that's what sustainable development is. That's what sustainable communities consist of. Sustainable development is implemented into a sustainable community through what is called a comprehensive land use plan. This comprehensive land use plan gives local government absolute jurisdiction over every square inch of land within that county, privately owned or not. And it does things like creates urban boundary zones around some areas, outside of which people are not even allowed to live. Municipal services will not be delivered. Property value of the land outside urban boundary zones goes to zero, but yet people are still required to pay taxes on it, but they can't sell it.
Yeah.
This is what land, sustainable communities and sustainable development, if it had to be reduced to its simplest term, would be the denial of private property rights in this country.
Mr. Lamb, I have a question from someone. He has a couple of questions, actually. They wanted to know what you know about Emetai Etzioni and communitarianism, and how do people recognize communitarian philosophy in everyday life?
Communitarianism is pretty much the same as collectivism, where the highest priority is the benefit of the community as opposed to the benefit of the individual. And in a communitarian society, people are expected to work for the benefit of the community rather than for personal gain or personal achievement. It is based on the fundamental egalitarian philosophy, where all people and all creatures are equal in value,
as opposed to man being on top, created by God, human beings on top of a, if you were going to look at us on a pyramid, and then the plants and the animals underneath man being the priority in that group of
group of, I'm going to say items, for I can't think of a better word, and that's probably not the best choice of words, but now everybody's on an equal plane so that the cow has the same rights as the human being, has the same rights as the tomato plant.
Well, that's what a lot of people in the progressive movement, in the animal rights movement, in the environmental movement believe. It's strange to me. But nonetheless, an awful lot of people believe that.
What do you know about Amitai Etzioni, Henry? Because I actually, the first person that I had on my show talking about communitarianism, talking about UN Agenda 21, was Nikki Rapana. You may be aware of her. She's actually up in Alaska now. But she's done copious amounts of research on Amitai Etzioni. Are you familiar with him?
No, I will... claim no expertise in that particular study.
Okay. Okay. So let's go back to then. Let's go back talking more about this global governance and more of how can people. Well, what are your suggestions for how they fight this? It has to be fought on the local level. That
Absolutely.
Much I do know. Trying to fight it by saying, well, gee, let me send a letter to the United Nations is like spitting in the wind.
No. I have attended far too many United Nations meetings in various places around the world to have any hope that even organizations like our Sovereignty International, although we can be a pain in the side to the United Nations administration, we certainly do not and have not influenced the policy. You're right. It has to be fought. The battles have to be fought at home, starting with the city council, the county commission, the state legislature, and Congress. But the people who go to Congress often get started as a county commissioner or a city councilman or a state legislator. And it is there where we have to educate these people in the fundamentals of the Constitution. And people who are well-versed and believe in the principles contained in the Constitution will do well, and when they get to Washington, will protect those rights. But people who believe in what they learned in civics class and in college from liberal professors will destroy us when they get to Washington. So it's imperative that we instruct and inform our elected officials at every level in the values and principles in the Constitution.
Well, you know, there was a study done of the high school graduates from 2009 and the college graduates from 2009, and they were asked whether or not who they were a citizen of. Were they a citizen of the United States? What did they consider themselves? And over 50% of them referred to themselves as citizens of the world and not citizens of the United States first.
Well, that's the result of intensive propaganda that started in 1946 by UNESCO. And we have documents on our website that were used to train teachers, the NEA in cooperation with UNESCO, instructing teachers to rid their students of the notions of nationalism in favor of the spirit of world citizenry.
Okay. I've got a couple more questions here for you,
okay,
Mr. Lamb. One of the questions is, do we not have standing to charge our politicians with violating the Constitution? And could a class action citizen lawsuit go anywhere to stop these things?
The answer to both questions is no. Unfortunately, an action by Congress or any individual in government is not unconstitutional until the Supreme Court says it is unconstitutional. To me, it is clear that it is unconstitutional for any government to take private property from one individual and give it or sell it to another private individual simply because another private individual may be able to produce more tax revenue, which is the basis for the Kelo decision you referred to a while ago. Yet the Supreme Court ruled differently. So until the Supreme Court says that a thing or a deed or an action is unconstitutional, it is not.
Okay. Here's another question from one of the listeners. What can citizens do to stop this beyond becoming aware of it and beyond protesting with signs? How do we know which politicians are for Agenda 21 and which support the Constitution?
I would say the first thing to do is join a local property rights organization, a Tea Party group, a 912 group, a Constitution group, a local group of citizens who are looking to achieve the same goals. Study through little booklets like the two that I've written and the dozens of other wonderful documents and material that's out there. Learn what has happened, how we got here, and what we need to do to change circumstances. Make sure that the people you elect to every local office in your community knows what you want to happen. And make sure that you ask them at your meetings what they believe about the issues that are of concern to you. We have to get involved. And the rise of the Tea Party movement in the last 2 years is the most encouraging thing I've seen in the last 50 years.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think it was on one of the leftist websites, I don't know which one, but they were actually talking about the Tea Parties and the Tea Party people becoming aware of sustainable development. And, of course, this writer of this article, you know, they're trying to shoot it down as though we're just nut jobs with tinfoil on our heads. There is no, you know, global conspiracy. There is no UN Agenda 21. You know, we're not going to have urban growth boundaries. The wild lands is just some imaginary place where Bambi is romping about, you know, and so obviously they know that now people know, and more people are starting to wake up to this. So that gives me hope, because once the left starts telling you, you know, you're calling you a racist and a nut job and homophobe and all the other titles they have for people that they disagree with, well, then you know that you're being effective and you're getting, you know, you're that bamboo under their fingernails.
Sure.
It's starting to become a little painful.
One of those local groups there in Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania Landowners Association out in West Pennsylvania, has done a magnificent job over the years, and there are many other organizations. But what is really encouraging to me, a number of Tea Party groups and 912 groups have been using my little booklet on sustainable development and on global governance our DVDs and videos as a basis for the instruction in their weekly and monthly meetings. And throughout Florida, throughout Texas, throughout Minnesota, and other states, these groups are learning and are holding their elected officials accountable. And as you saw at the last election, those people who describe the Wildlands Project as a home of imaginary Bambi and to talk about us with people with tinfoil hats, those people are the ones who went back home. Those are the people that lost their job. The people who took their jobs are people who know what we're talking about and believe it.
Exactly. Well, I've only got a couple more minutes left. Henry, is there anything you'd like to add, something that we haven't touched on, which there's so much associated with this, we've only, scratched the surface. But is there any particular thing you'd like to comment on or make my listeners aware of?
Well, I would like to say thank you for everybody who did vote to send those folks that went to Washington. But now is not the time to sit back and celebrate. What we have is encouragement and inspiration, and our next big challenge is 2012, and we have to send another wave of people who agree with us. So we have 2 years now to find those people, to inform and educate those people, and to generate enough support in the communities to make sure that our local elected officials are folks who agree with our freedom philosophy and our Constitution, our state legislators. We have just really gotten started. But as you said earlier, this is where we have to win the battle of global governance. It will not be won in Geneva. It will not be won in cities around the world. It'll have to be won at every hometown and every county and every state.
Well, you know, I was at a little Tea Party activity today before I came back to do this show, and we were standing in front of this local mall that gets thousands and thousands of shoppers, and
lots of traffic, and we're standing there with our signs and our flags and that stuff, and there was one fellow who made a point of parking across the street, going across this heavily traveled road to come over and yell at us and call us all kinds of names and stuff like that. Then he went back across the road, then he got into his car, then he came around again, then he was yelling at us again as he stopped in his car in front of us, then he pulls into the parking lot and he's yelling at us some more, and oh, it was funny, but, you know, you have some people who recognize there is an awareness that is bubbling up there. Some people who are aware of it, and there's others that just don't have any idea whatsoever, and they've been, it's so hard for people to give up their illusions of thinking that Bush is their hero, or, you know, if you like Obama, Obama's, you know, the Messiah. It's so hard for people to give up those illusions and to step back from their illusion and to actually see reality. I have one more question for you real quick, Henry. Ask about the TSA stuff. Somebody wants to know about what you think about the take on all of the TSA stuff.
I think the Fourth Amendment is quite clear, and nobody, TSA or any other government official, has any right to infringe my private security without a warrant, and yet they do it every day.
Yes, they do. Well, I think that's all part of the bigger picture to get American people used to having a police state.
Certainly,
and allowing the government to, giving the government the ability to do whatever they want to do, and you just step back and you allow it, you don't stop them.
That's exactly
what it is. So I think it's all just a conditioned response, like Pavlov's dog. They're just going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing.
You're right. That's exactly what it is.
But thank you so much, Henry, for being on my show today. We have been speaking with Henry Lamb, and he is the founder of Environmental Conservation Organization. His websites, which are sovereignty.net, freedom21.org, freedom.org, they will all be on my website, which is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Please, go there. You'll be able to listen to the podcast of the show with Henry Lamb. You'll be able to reach all of his websites. He's got all kinds of information, all kinds of DVDs, booklets, stuff you need to know. Please go to his website. Please support the people who come on my show who are working tirelessly and fearlessly to get this information out there, because they are on the front lines of trying to keep us free and fight this plan for our global enslavement. And I've got to tell you, I figured out in kindergarten, I've said this before, I wasn't going to make a good slave. So, Henry, thank you so much for coming on my show. I appreciate it so much.
My pleasure.
Listen,
anytime.
Everybody, you know, I always love to go to Oz. We go to Oz at the end of every one of my shows, because somewhere over the rainbow is a wonderful place to be. I will be on Sunday, Micro 1650 AM. You can hear me at noon next Wednesday at 8 o'clock on WNJC 1360. Listen, Net Talk World, Talk Stream Live. You can hear my shows there. Repeated, nettalkworld.com. Please, everybody, I'm always looking for sponsors of this show. I'm looking for advertisers as well. So, hey, freedom isn't free. It comes with a price tag. So please, support the people who are on the front lines standing up for you. So, hey, Patrick, let's go to Oz. Take care, everybody. Keep your chin up. There are more of us than there are of them, and better days are coming.
The dreams that you dare to dream really do. Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where you'll find me, somewhere.